Amen. Good morning. Thank you for that special item. Wonderful reminder of what our Missions Month is all about. And in our Bible readings this morning, we heard about the desire of God for us to give. And the Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. God wants us to give cheerfully, but according as we purpose in our hearts. It's our hearts that the Lord wants most of all. And it's from our hearts we give our monies, our tithes and our offerings, but it's from our hearts also that we give ourselves. And we need to be reminded of that, especially at Missions Month. Ever since I've been saved, I've enjoyed Missions Month every year, the challenge of God to stretch my faith, not only in giving more to our missionaries, giving more to God financially, but also a challenge to remember that God wants my heart. He wants me to be fully surrendered to Him, to go at any time when God calls, and to go anywhere that He wants us to go. And I believe God would have us to look at this issue of surrendering to the mission field this morning as we look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 in your Bibles. Let's look at verse 37 to begin with. Matthew chapter 9. Let's read from verses 36 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 to 38. But when He, that's Jesus, saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. When it comes to the task of world evangelism, when it comes to God's call on our lives as Christians as a whole to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't need to wonder today where the problem lies. We don't need to wonder, as we've read this morning, the problem isn't with the mission field. The problem isn't the response of souls. Yes, there will be people that won't hear, but the Lord tells us that seed will fall on good ground. People will hear. People will be saved. In fact, that's the reason why we're here this morning. People will be saved. People do respond. And Jesus tells us here a very convicting truth, a very sobering truth, that there isn't a problem with the mission field. There isn't a problem with the responses of men. People are out there that want to hear and are waiting to hear the gospel all around the world. The problem is the laborers are few. The problem lies with God's people. The problem lies with you and I. The Lord tells us that there are only a few in general. There are only a few that are willing to go. There are only a few that are willing to go and labor in the field that is the world. Perhaps sometimes it's because of a lack of compassion. Living our own lives and only seeing, only living for ourselves and selfishly only seeing what we have going on in our own lives, and a lack of compassion for the needs of the souls of mankind to receive the Lord Jesus Christ before He comes again and judges this earth. But it's not always because of a lack of compassion. I'm sure there are those here this morning that would wish and hope and pray for nothing more than souls to be saved, than souls to be added to God's kingdom all around the world, for His church to be continued to be built. Sometimes it's because of unbelief. A heart of unbelief. Sometimes it's because we just don't believe that God can send me. that can send you anywhere in this world to serve Him. Not only to serve Him, but to use you in a miraculous way to bring souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. When God challenges us oftentimes about going abroad, and we look at the lives of our missionaries, far too often it's unbelief that stops us from even considering that God may even desire to call and may want us to surrender to that call. It's an issue of the heart. To allow God to have His will and His way in our lives. And this morning, I believe God wants to speak to our hearts about this issue of full surrender, surrendering to God completely from our hearts, to do whatever He would desire for us to do, whether it be to serve Him here, whether it be to serve Him here for a time, and then to go. The Lord tells us that the laborers are few. Why? Because we don't want to go. Moses was a great man of faith. God used him in a mighty way. He's recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Heroes Hall of Faith. Yet when God first called Moses, Moses didn't want to go. Moses argued with God. Moses refused to do what God was calling him to do. And this morning I want us to look briefly at the calling of Moses. In Exodus chapter 4, if you turn with me there this morning, Exodus chapter 4, we'll read one verse and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Exodus chapter 4. In chapter 3 and 4, the Lord called out unto Moses. The Lord spoke to him about many things that were going on in his heart. I just like to look at one of those things this morning, found in the question that God asked Moses in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. I believe God would have us to consider this morning what we have in our hands. What God has given us. What God can do with it. And how God would desire for us to fully surrender all that we have so that He can do His will and way in our lives. This morning. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for this message, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You chose to preach it to me first, Lord. Thank You for the work that You've done in my life, Lord, through the truth of Your Word. And Lord, we hear the cry, Lord, of those in despair. And Lord, we see the need in our world around us. And yet, Lord, we so often fail to respond to Your will and to Your call. And Lord, we need You to work in our hearts this morning. Lord, late is the hour and we know the need is great. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that You would speak to us through Your Word. Lord, not through my words, but may Your Holy Spirit speak to each one of us concerning where we're at and what You'd have us to do this morning. We pray, dear Lord, that we would be attentive to Your Word. That we would see You, Lord, as who You truly are, not what we make You out to be in our own minds and how we limit You, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You would speak to our hearts, that Your blessing would be upon Your Word this morning, and that You would change our lives for Your glory as a result of hearing from You today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From the time He was born, we know that the Lord had a special plan and purpose for the life of Moses. Even as a child, as a baby, we know that God protected him from the judgment of Pharaoh's decree. As Pharaoh decreed that all newborn Hebrew males be slain in the land of Egypt, God protected Moses. He protected Moses from being killed. He protected Moses from judgment because God had a will and a purpose for Moses' life. And as his mother made that ark and covered it with a covering to protect it from the water, and as she sent Moses out, that little bundle, onto the water, God protected Moses, and God sent him straight into the hands of none other than the daughter of Pharaoh herself. God had a plan for the life of Moses. God was working, and in fact, He had a plan even before Moses was born. God has a plan for our lives, my friends, one that He has planned for before we were even born, that we would be saved and that we would serve Him with our lives for His special purpose. Moses, God had a purpose for Moses' life. As he grew up in the palace of the Egyptians, he was taught in all their ways, but there came a time in this young man's life that he had to choose in what he would believe. He had to choose whether he would live in the world or whether he would turn to God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 25, that by faith, when Moses was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made his choice, and it was a good choice. Moses fled the palace to the lonely pastures of the wilderness of Midian, and we could say there he settled down. He married. He raised the family. He worked for his father-in-law. For 40 years he took care of the sheep of the flock of his father-in-law. We could say, as we look back on the Word of God, commentators have said that he took care of stubborn sheep, and that was the perfect preparation that God had for Moses, because later on God would have him to take care of stubborn people. And we can look back on that and we can see God's plan, but remember, Moses had no idea at the fullness of God's will for his life. Moses had no idea what God was going to do. There he was, 40 years, and God was preparing him. God was preparing him. One day, suddenly, God called Moses. He called out to Moses, and Moses said, "Here am I. Here am I." But very shortly after, Moses said, "Who am I that you should send me?" Send someone else, basically, Moses said to God. And how often that's the case with you and I. We're willing to hear from God. We want to hear His voice. We want Him to speak to us. We want to know His will for our lives in theory. And yet when He tells us and shows us and lays a burden on our heart, we're the ones to tell God how far He can go in our lives, how much we're willing to do for Him. And when it comes to the mission field, the laborers are few because God's people don't want to go. God's people refuse the call of God, and we limit Him. We tell God how much we think He can do in our lives and what He can use us for, and we say no. And the laborers remain few. Moses had that same problem. But the encouraging truth we see this morning, that Moses changed his mind. God changed his heart. And in the end, we know that God used Moses in a miraculous way. And there are a few truths that I'd like us to look at this morning. What God showed Moses in order to change his heart, to surrender to the mission that God had for him. First of all, I'd like us to see in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2 that Moses already had in his hands all that he needed to serve the Lord. Moses already had in his hands, God had placed in his hands all that he needed to surrender and to serve the Lord. God said to Moses, "What is that in thine hand?" And Moses said, "A rod." What Moses had in his hand was a shepherd's rod. It was the tool of his trade, we could say. He went with it everywhere. He took it everywhere he went.
And it probably wasn't a shiny, polished wooden rod with a hook at the end that you might see in kids' storybooks. It was probably a hardened and weathered and worn rod, a rod he would take to shepherd the sheep, to direct them, to force them into line when needed. It's a rod he would use to defend the flock from predators that would come in. That's what was in Moses' hand. God said to Moses, knowing what it was, God said, "What is that in thine hand?" That was Moses' life for 40 years. That was Moses' life, and God was saying to Moses, "What is that in thine hand? I've given you all that you need, prepared you to serve me." And now God wanted him to yield his rod, his life, to God. God wanted him to give his life over to the Lord and surrender to him. When we commission this month and God's potential call on our lives to go to the field, we need to realize that when God calls, he's already given us all that we need to obey and surrender to his will and to perform his will. And that's an encouraging truth. God has given us all that we need, and God would have us to consider this morning, what is that in thine hand? What is that in thine hand? Some of you here this morning speak a foreign language. God has given you something. Another language. Another language that perhaps you learned as you were growing up. That's not by chance. God has given us perhaps a foreign language, and maybe you, like Moses, God would have you to go back to the origin of your birth and to preach the gospel to a people in another language, in another tongue. Perhaps you're feeling the burden of a people of your own land, as Moses did. As that burden grew in his heart, God confirmed it as he called him. Perhaps God has given you an ability to learn a language. You might be learning a language right now. How do we know what God wants? Well, he'll tell us. And we need to be willing and ready to surrender to his call. But we need to consider this morning, what has God given us? What is that in our hands? Perhaps you have certain skills, an education, a trade that God wants you to use when he sends you out to the mission field. Something that will sustain you, something that will be a blessing, something that God can use on the mission field, perhaps to be a blessing to another missionary. Perhaps God would send you to be a support and a help on the mission field with what he's given you in your hands. We all have spiritual gifts. We all have spiritual gifts that have uniquely been given to us by God at our salvation to be used for his special and particular purpose in our lives. God has given us those gifts for us to use. And if it's God's will for you, if it's God's will for your life, that you'd go out to the mission field, that you'd go out to the regions beyond, God has given you all that you need already to serve him. God has given you all that we need. We don't need to fear and wonder how it can be done. First of all, we see this morning, God said to Moses, "What is that in thine hand?" A simple truth. It was a rod. Moses had all that he needed. God had been preparing him. We have the Word of God in our hands. We know the gospel. If you're saved, then you have something to say. You know the most important truth in this world, how someone else can be saved. How they can be 100% sure of a home in heaven. You know that truth. What is that in my hand? You have the Word of God. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure of a home in heaven, my friends, you're in the right place. The most wonderful truth that you can come to know is how your sins can be fully forgiven once and for all by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, my friend, you have a great treasure in your hands. Are you willing to surrender to use it for the Lord with whatever he'd have you to do? That's what God is calling us to do this morning.
We have the Word of God. Perhaps some of you have been trained. Perhaps some of you are being trained. We're all being discipled and prepared as we come to church, as we sit under the preaching of God's Word. Some of us are in Bible college. Some are being trained at the moment. What does God have for you, for your life? Perhaps you don't know. That's okay. God will speak. You will hear if you're surrendered. He'll let you know. The question is, are we willing to give all to the Lord? Are we willing to yield what's in our hands for the Master's use? You know, Moses wasn't a young man when God called him. Missions isn't only for the young and for the strong. It's also for the grey and for the wise. Moses wasn't a young man. And you might be here this morning and you might say, well, I'm settled down. I can't see how it ever could be possible that God would send me. Maybe He'll send some of my kids instead. And yet God's timing in our lives is perfect. God was preparing Moses for 40 years. And when Moses was ready, in God's eyes, God called him. We need to realize that God's timing is perfect. Consider what is in thine hand, brethren. Consider what is in thine hand. See, the problem is, we're looking for something new to happen. We have in our mind that if God would one day make me to be like this missionary, or like this person, then maybe only then I will surrender to the will of God. Then maybe only then I will start to believe that God can use me. We're looking for something new. Moses already had in his hand what he needed. God was saying to Moses, what is in thy hand? Consider that. And yield it to me. And how it must grieve God, who can see the future and the past. As God can see into the wonderful potential and the miraculous work He wants to do in our lives and will do. As God can see all that, and yet we stand and resist His call and say to the Lord, it's not possible. It can't be done. How it must grieve the Lord when we say that to Him, and yet He knows it will be done if we simply surrender to His will. What is that in thine hand? We already have. If God wants you to go to the mission field, my friend, if He wants you to preach the gospel, if He wants you to plant a church in the regions beyond, if He wants you to go, then God will give you all that you need to perform His will. What are you waiting for, sister? That's an encouraging truth. God has given us all that we need. We don't need to fear. We don't need to doubt. We don't need to question. And yet so often we do, because we just don't consider
what God has already given us. The wealth of what He's already given us. How He's already prepared us.
Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, please. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, and verse 13. Let's read verse 13 aloud together. On to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. 1, 2. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God will give us all that we need to do His will. And perhaps He's working in you right now, today, to prepare you for something that you have no idea of. And yet the first step is God wants us to surrender our lives to Him. He wants us to yield that rod. He wants us to give it to Him, first of all. He wants us to surrender all that we have. And you might be here this morning and you might say, well, Brother James, I can see your point. I can see all that God has given me. And I understand that God may want to use me, but I can't see how that will happen. I can't see how I could possibly go out there and how it'll work, how God can use me in a miraculous way. Well, we need to learn the second point that God, the second lesson that God shows Moses, which is that God is the one who will do the miraculous with what we have. We simply just need to yield it to Him. We just simply need to yield our lives to God, and He will do the miraculous with what we have. Go back to Exodus chapter 4 with me. And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." Verse 3. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Before his very eyes, Moses saw a miracle take place. As Moses cast that rod down to the ground, God transformed it into a living snake, a snake so real that Moses ran from it in fear. You see, God is the one that will do the miraculous. God is the one who can work the supernatural. He's the one that can change one thing to another. We don't need to doubt how it can be done. God wants us to see this morning what's in our hands. And then secondly, what He can do with it. What He can do with it. God is the one who has the power to do the miraculous. He's the one that can change our lives. You see, God wasn't asking Moses to do anything in his own strength. All He was asking of Moses was just to yield what he had to God. Just to yield his life to God. And God will do the miraculous in his life. And thankfully, in the end, Moses gave his life to the Lord. As Moses picked up that rod, we know that no longer was it the rod of Moses. The Bible tells us in verse 20, if you look with me there, as Moses picked up that rod and by the end of it, he surrendered to the Lord. The Bible tells us, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. No longer was it the rod of Moses. It was the rod of God. He had given it to God. And in God's hand, Moses, from then on, would experience the power of God in his life. Because he surrendered what he had to the Lord. He surrendered what he had to the Lord. As Moses returned to Egypt, he went with his family and he went with that rod in his hand, the rod of God. And as he entered Egypt, God began to bring the most powerful nation in the world at that time to its knees. As God began to pour out judgment upon that nation, plague after plague, in five of those plagues, God commanded the rod to be held out, to be stretched out, and God judged the nation of Egypt. And that rod was used in five of the plagues to turn water into blood, to bring upon a plague of frogs, of lice, and hail and fire from the sky, a plague of locusts. And in the end, after all the plagues had been completed, Pharaoh finally let the people go. A miracle that Moses didn't believe in at first when God first called him. And yet because he yielded his life to the Lord, because he believed in the God of the supernatural, that God is able to do the miraculous beyond our own reasoning, Moses saw the power of God in his life, and God enabled him to fulfill his mission. Shortly after the Pharaoh let the nation of Israel go, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He then set about to pursue the nation of Israel into the wilderness to destroy them. We read of that account in Exodus chapter 14. Let's go together to Exodus chapter 14. Let's read a few verses. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Skip down to verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." Verse 16. "But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divided, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Then in verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. God is the one that has the power to do the miraculous. Amen. Moses knew that. The nation of Israel was still in unbelief, but Moses was trusting in the God of the miraculous. And the Red Sea opened up before the nation of Israel. Not a little puddle of water. Yeah. Not a small amount of water. There were walls of water beside them. The ground was completely dry as they walked through. Amen. And by the time they had walked through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians pursued, God closed the waters upon the enemies of Israel. And they were seen again no more forever. God is the God of the impossible. And we need to know that. We need to understand that if we're going to be able to understand how possibly God can use you and I on the mission field. How God could possibly use you and I in a land of a strange language that we don't know. Perhaps he hasn't given you a foreign language and he wants you to learn a language so that you can go. Perhaps he'll teach you a language there and you might think, well, how is that possible? We all understand that Bible words are very different from the common language of man, of people in any culture. It's one thing to witness in your own words. It's another thing to use biblical language, to be able to understand and have a grasp of a language. And I don't want to convince anyone that it's easy this morning. It's easy to do that. But we need to realize that God is the God of the miraculous. God is the God that can supernaturally enable us to learn a language in order to preach the gospel, in order to share the word of God. He's the one that can do the miraculous. And as we look up on our mission board at those who have gone abroad, and many of those you know, Brother Billy Eyre, for example, struggled with English. And yet now he's preaching in Romanian, a language he never knew. That's a miracle of God. And he would attest to that himself. That's a miracle of God. Why? Because God is a God of the miraculous, and Brother Eyre gave his life to the Lord. And God is miraculously using him to win souls to Christ for his glory. When we consider the mission field, God is the one that will cause people to hear. God is the one that will convert the lost. Those who've never heard of the gospel, God is the one that specializes in saving them. If God is going to send you there, then he'll enable you with all that you need to go. And he will do the miraculous with what you have in order that you can complete the mission he has for your life. When we realize that the Lord has given us all that we need, that he's the one that can do the miraculous in our life, then suddenly the mission field doesn't become an impossible thing. Suddenly, in fact, it becomes very possible if our faith is right. If our heart in the Lord is right, it's very possible. But the problem that we have and the problem that Moses had is unbelief. Unbelief because all we're looking at is ourselves. And when we look at ourselves, all we see most often is our failures. We see our weaknesses. We see our sins, which God has already forgiven. We listen to our fears. We don't see what's already in our hand, what God has placed there. We don't see the miraculous power of God. We don't see God for who he is. We see ourselves, and when God challenges us year after year about surrendering to the mission field, we say to the Lord, no, it can't be me. It's impossible. How can you use me, Lord? As Moses said. As Moses said to God, who am I that you should send me? He was looking at himself. God said to Moses, cast down that rod. And before Moses' eyes, it transformed into a snake. And Moses saw that God was the God of the miraculous. He simply yielded his life to him. and God will do the very same miraculous work in his life as he obeyed and as he went to Egypt. If we don't see God for who he is, if we don't see the ability of God to do the miraculous in our lives, wherever he would want to send us, then, brethren, the laborers will remain few. The laborers will remain few. But that doesn't have to be said of Metropolitan Baptist Church. That doesn't have to be said of us. God wants to speak to our hearts this morning about the issue of full surrender, understanding that he'll give us all that we need to do his will, whether here or in the regions beyond. God will give us all that we need. And when we surrender it to him, it's then that we'll experience the power of God. It's then that we will experience God's miraculous working power to fulfill his will for our lives. Brethren, what are you going to do this morning with what God has given you in your hands? What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to live it for yourself? Or are you going to yield it to the Lord this morning? That's what Missions Month is all about. That's the heart of missions. We would have no one to support if no one went. God wants our hearts. He wants us to give. He wants us to give our lives first and foremost. But we need to be willing to surrender. And we'll conclude with this last point. We must surrender all by faith. God has given us all that we need. He's the one that will do the miraculous. But we need to surrender all that we have in our hands by faith. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 4. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 4. As Moses fled from before it, verse 4 tells us, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." As Moses ran from the snake, as Moses ran in fear from the serpent, God told him to stop, to pick it up, to catch it by the tail. Now normally if you were going to pick up a snake, you wouldn't pick it up by the tail. Apparently snakes don't generally like that. They're likely to bite. You wouldn't pick up a snake by its tail. That's a dangerous thing to do. Moses knew that. Yet God asked him to take a step of faith. He asked him to pick up that snake by its tail. To trust in him as he surrendered to the Lord. And to surrender by faith. By faith, Moses reached out. He caught that snake by its tail. The Bible says it became a rod in his hand. And as we've already read, it was no longer the rod of Moses. It was the rod of God. The rod had now become God's, and Moses also had now become God's. Moses surrendered to the Lord by faith. God continued to deal with issues in Moses' heart from then on. But we see a point of faith as Moses reached out. And God wants us to surrender by faith. God wants us to trust in him. To trust in his promises. Who he is. And his plan and perfect will for our lives. You may be here today and you might fear the thoughts in your mind about what God may have for you. You may be here and you might fear what God may want to do with your life. But we need to realize that those fears aren't from God. Those fears are from our sinful flesh that just wants to do our own thing. And it always has. Our flesh has always wanted to do its own thing. And it's still there as a Christian. And your flesh wants you to say no to God this morning. I'm not saying that God is calling you personally to the mission field. But maybe he is. And he wants you to surrender all to him this morning. Not in fear, but in faith. In faith. And that means all of us need to be at least willing to surrender all and be willing, if it's his will, to surrender to the mission field. Are you willing to hand over your life to God this morning? Are you willing to give your life to the Lord. You know, some of us don't want to let go of that rod, if you will, our lives. We're holding on tight at the moment. We might say we're yielded to God, but God knows our hearts. All we need to do is talk about the issue of going to another country to be a missionary. And God will show each of us how tight we're holding on to that rod. How we don't want to give it to Him. How we don't want to yield it to Him. And yet, if we don't, we'll never see the power of God upon our lives and His complete, fulfilled will in our lives. Our life isn't ours to live as we please. The Bible tells us that we have been bought with a price, with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our life is not our own, and God has a wonderful plan for our lives. And for some of you, it's to go into the regions beyond. For some of you, it's to go with all that God has already given you, with the power that He has to do the miraculous. But it starts by surrendering by faith. God wants us to surrender by faith. I think about what may have happened if Moses never surrendered. Moses continued to say no to God. Perhaps Moses would have remained a shepherd. If he would have, he would have walked below the mountain of God from a distance, at a distance from the Lord. Not only that, that burden in his heart for his people. He had heard the cries and seen them of those in despair. And that burden would have continued to grow and weigh heavy on his heart as he refused the call of God. I'm glad he said yes. I'm glad God changed his heart, because we know what God did with Moses' life. We can see and look back, and God would have us to look this morning at what is that in our hands. So we can look forward to what plans God has for us. As God continued to deal with Moses in chapter 4, we read in verse 14 that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. I don't know about you, but I don't want to make God angry. God is a holy God. The fact that we're saved doesn't change the amount and the impact of His holiness upon our lives. God is a holy God, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And again, thankfully, Moses surrendered to the will of God. Moses surrendered to the will of God. God isn't pleased. In fact, it's an insult to the Lord when we say to God that it can't be done, and God can see already how it will be done and how it must have grieved the Lord. As Moses continued to resist, will you say yes to the Lord this morning? Can you see what is that in thine hand? God wants you to surrender it to Him. Do you believe that God can do the miraculous in your life? He can. He can, brethren. And He will. Just as He did in Moses' life. He can, but you have to first surrender it to Him. And only when we surrender it to Him, God will do the miraculous in our lives. God has always worked that way. God has always worked that way. David, what is that in thine hand? David said to the Lord, Lord, it's a sling.
It's not much. God said to David, yield it to me. Let me show you what I'll do with it. And then there's Gideon. What is that in thine hand? Gideon said to the Lord, I just have a few hundred men. We're only armed with a few trumpets, some pitchers, some torches.
And we're up against, I think it was, 120,000 men.
God said to Gideon, yield it to me. You have all you need. Yield it to me. Give it to me. And as they did,
as Gideon obeyed the Lord, those feeble things in the hand of God became the sword of the Lord
and of Gideon. God is able
to do the miraculous in our lives, brethren. Will you surrender it to Him this morning? He's already given you all that you need. Be encouraged. All you need to do is surrender. Lord, here am I. That's His plea this morning in our hearts. God wants us to simply surrender and believe by faith that He will do all that He has planned to do if we simply entrust Him with our lives. For some of us, there's a need to go, and in His time He will show that. Perhaps He's working in your heart at this moment to show you that it's very near, that it's not as impossible as you think. May God do a work in our hearts. May God do a work in our hearts this morning, that He would do what He pleases, and He pleases and desires to send laborers forth into the harvest. Let's pray.